Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken Edwards, National Coalition of Labor. Phil Davidson, welcome, Phil. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy March.
Happy March is right. And Ed Maher.
What's happening?
And NCL as well. How's you were gone. You were.
I was gone. I went to do a benefit administrators conference presentation there, and then I was meeting with some other union members down in Southwest Florida.
Well, I was in Peoria, so lucky you.
Peoria is awesome this time of year.
So yeah, it was. We've been a lot of traveling lately. But we have a look. First of all, we had a terrible accident here in Chicagoland. One carpenter passed away, unfortunately. One was severely injured on a job. I think, was it a people's gas job or what was it?
No, it was a residential job.
Oh, it was residential. It wasn't even that. Okay.
Yeah. And it was in North Lawndale.
Oh, my gosh. And so, you know, our hearts go out to the families. You know, just be safe out there. It is don't cut corners. I'm not saying they did, but you know, it was an accident.
It's a moment to pause and kind of reflect and take that extra moment to make sure that everything you're doing is safe.
Yeah.
And if it's not, say something.
Absolutely. Yeah, so,
just point, so these jobs, they're dangerous.
Safety
first. Absolutely. Always, every time.
Agreed.
Yes.
Yeah. So today, this is the head of the National Women's Soccer League Players Association, right? And her name is Megan Burke, and so she's the head of this union, Players Union for the Premier Soccer League, Women's Soccer League in the United States. And here in Chicago, we have the former, what were they, the Red Stars?
Red Stars.
And now they're the Stars, right? But the Ricketts family just bought them, and, you know, like, I think this is a sport that, you know, is up and coming, and they have a massive, they got a contract. So anyway, I was talking to
Kansas
John Hansen.
City, they built their own stadium for the
Which is awesome, right? Yeah. It's good, right? Yeah. And it's fantastic.
I mean, let's not forget that women's American female soccer players have dominated the globe for, what, like 30 years?
Right. Yeah. Really, really good, right? And I think that Megan
Rapinoe
played here in Chicago.
She did.
So we have Megan Burke, who's the head of that union. She's going to come on. And then we have an organizer and a worker from First Ascent, which is a climbing gym. They have about four locations in and around Chicago, and they are organizing with Workers United.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the process of, I think they just filed, so we're going to talk to them. That's going to be interesting. And then in other news, we have the train wreck that's called Elon Musk and Donald Trump. Just an absolute train wreck.
I know.
And I just read an article
after
article.
It's hard to look away.
But I got to say, there's things that are like troubling about it also. There was this whole push to fire all of the probationary workers. I think we talked about it last week.
Yeah.
Anybody who'd been there like less than a year.
Yeah.
So a judge weighed in and said that these firings were, quote, probably illegal. And he suggested they stop, but not order. Is there another judge here that we could ask? Probably illegal.
Is there an adult in the room, please?
Like, we thought asking the judge, you could tell if it's illegal or not illegal. I think these judges are scared.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Probably illegal, and maybe they should stop.
If they're one of the three legs of the federal stool, the judiciary branch is now a baby leg. We got to get surgery on that leg.
Good one.
No, and Elon will say that, you know, if judges rule against the will of the president, then it's undemocratic. Elon has never heard of separation of powers. He apparently has no clue what the Constitution includes.
I don't think he cares.
Yeah.
I don't think he cares at all. You know, I saw, and I keep reading these articles, right, about people that worked for the federal government or worked for the federal government that have lost their jobs and said, you know, hey, I voted for this administration. Nobody said that this was going to happen.
The people who cried Project 2025 did say that this was going to happen.
Well, there's no question about that. But, you know, Trump and his administration said, you know, no, that we're not following. You know, I didn't even heard of it. Well, it turns out they're using it like exactly as
like
the playbook,
the gospel,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so you get reading all these articles, like, I didn't think this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, once again, you know, you want to curb government efficiency, you know, feel free to do that, but don't do it on the backs of the workers, right? So, listen, we got to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Megan Burke from the Players Association right here on 720 WGN, the Workers' Mic.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken, Ed, Phil. And as we stated at the top of the hour, we're super stoked today to have a very unique guest that that is different for us, right? So we have Megan Burke. Megan, welcome.
Thank you for having me, guys. Really glad to be with you today.
Yeah, we're super, super stoked. And you are the head of the what? Tell us your title. Tell us your league. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Of course, yeah. I'm the executive director of the NWSL Players Association, which is the union that represents women's professional soccer players in the NWSL, which is the top flight pro league here in the United States, arguably one of the best leagues in the world. I am a former player myself, having played in the predecessor pro league, the NWSL, and then started practicing law, so I am a lawyer, and very grateful to get to do soccer and law for my day job.
Soccer and law.
Yeah, watch out, Ken. Yeah, there's an actual lawyer in the room here. You
know, there's a real lawyer
exactly.
here?
Exactly. Yeah.
What kind of law? Yeah, what kind of law? Was it criminal? Yeah. Criminal defense?
Yeah, I did civil rights criminal defense work.
Super cool. Super cool.
With my primary focus.
And now, tell us about the league, right? And here in Chicago, we had the Red Stars, and they just rebranded this year to the Chicago Stars, right, Phil? Am I getting that right?
That is correct.
And they play out in Bridgeview.
Out in Bridgeview at SeatGeek Stadium.
That's right. Super popular.
Yep.
Very.
Right? So tell us about the league.
Yeah. So I actually played for the Red Stars in 2010. Woo! So I have a soft spot in my heart for Chicago. Grew up in Chicago.
I knew I recognized you.
I doubt that. Yeah, so I'm familiar. The Red Stars are one of the original founding teams of the NWSL. I'm sure you're aware that, the club went through some of the turmoil of the last few years, that as a lot of the things that had failed our members, abuse, misconduct, maltreatment, came out in the public.
Yep.
2021, 22, and the Red Stars were one of the teams that were the subject of that scrutiny.
We remember.
New owners came in, Ricketts family. Laura Ricketts in particular bought the team and have really tried to turn it around. You know, what I don't think people in Chicago realize is that you have arguably the best goalkeeper in the world, Alyssa Nair, a legend.
Really?
Who's the goalkeeper for the Chicago Stars. You've had world-class players. Back when I played, it was Megan Rapinoe and Cristiani.
Oh, super cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so real legacy of greatness at that club. And unfortunately, the attendance is difficult at Bridgeview because it's just hard, as you guys know. You don't need me to tell you. It's hard to get to Chicago.
Right.
And so as public funding for stadium infrastructure has become part of the conversation in Chicago, the Stars now with more sophisticated ownership put their hands up and said, wait a second. Great that, these teams that have had public funding to build their stadiums, which is essentially seed money for new business.
Sure.
Great that you guys have had that and you want more, but what about us?
Deserve your piece of it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So do you lobby on behalf of the teams as well for this type of thing?
I do not, but we want to see one of the biggest challenges you can imagine for workers, right, is having the right conditions to perform your job and not having a training facility. Is a problem. We have players who are only eating one meal a day because they get a secondary status at the training pitch. The men go first and they train later.
There were frequent cases where they would cancel games, right? Because there would be another event at the stadium and the mayor or whoever owns the stadium would say, we got to cancel tonight's game.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, Riot Fest booted us out of a
Riot Fest. That's right.
Thankfully, the tenants came together and, it was a good collaboration to solve it. But yeah, to your point, it means that when you don't control your own venue, you are a second-tier status, second-rate status.
Right.
It makes it challenging to really put on the best product you possibly can. Provide fans with a great experience, help make it easier for them to get there, and that sort of thing.
So, Megan, you guys, this is your first collective bargaining agreement ever, right? You guys just settled this?
Well, the first one was 2022, and we engaged in midterm voluntary bargaining prior to the end of the term of the first one. We negotiated a whole new CBA that established free agency and some other, pretty cutting-edge things for the sports world.
So tell us a couple of things that you're proud of in that contract, because I read the press release, you speak the language better than I. So go ahead, tell us a few things.
Well, I think for folks listening to your show, I think this is actually, it's a really important one to us that I think a lot of other workers take for granted, which is the ability to control your own destiny and to have autonomy over your career. If you're, for example, as a lawyer or as a, a plumber or a painter, service worker, you decide where you're going to go to work, right? Like who you're going to work for. And you work under the terms and conditions of employment that you can get to do that job. In sports, through a draft, the employer unilaterally dictates where you play. they decide for your right to go.
I've always thought about the draft. It's like, I choose you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm going to take
Unless
you.
John Elway.
Right?
And the better you are in college, the worst team you're going to play for in the pros.
Yeah, like my Giants are going to get a really high pick, and nobody wants to go play for the Giants because they're terrible. So, it is a.
That's exactly right.
That's insane. So you got rid of the draft.
We got rid of the draft. We got rid of trades without player consent. Every contract is now actually a contract because that was another thing, you know, to the old way of doing things. You know, the employer could hold your rights for a period of time, but they could fire you on 24 hours notice anyway.
Wow. No just cause.
So. Right. We got rid of that. Now every contract is guaranteed. And, you know, one of the other things that's unique in the sports business are salary caps. We do still have a salary cap, but we did introduce revenue sharing to inform the salary cap so that now workers can participate in the revenues they generate.
I love it. And so before we got on the air, everybody that's listening, we were talking about dues and the fact that because this league is nationwide, about half of the states are right to work for less states and half are not. And the question, Megan, is how do you collect dues and how's your membership participation?
Yeah, we've got, if not 100%, then pretty darn close. I'm visiting with teams. That's part of the focus of our preseason meetings, you know, introducing ourselves to new members, making sure we get 100% active participation in the union.
Tell us the name of the holdouts.
And one of the ways we do that is as
do you want to list?
Tell us the names of the holdouts.
Yeah, you want to list the holdouts?
Oh, I would love to. I'll text you. Let me give them a chance to sign up.
Okay, Fair enough. let's put it this way: there ain't nobody in Chicago that's not paying dues. How about that? So, but you said that you have a couple of like sort of carrots in the contract that you use to make sure that people sign up and explain that.
That's exactly right. So, you know, look, every human being controls their own name, image, and likeness, right? It's inherent to the person.
Right.
If you're a professional athlete, obviously the value of your name, image, and likeness is higher than the average bear. And so there's immense value in athletes lending their name to whether it's promoting a team or a product or whatnot. So through group licensing, we define it as four or more players together or in a series, and that's consistent. You know, other sports might have six or eight or whatever they use. And that's to protect the value of their individual endorsement deals, to make sure we're not conflicting with that.
Right.
The players sign basically what we call a group licensing assignment, or GLA. It's a contract.
Uh-huh.
And they basically entrust the union with packaging the rights on behalf of the collective and generating money for them, incremental revenue that doesn't require them to do anything additional. It's passive use of their name, image, and likeness. And so that's how you see players in things like video games, trading cards, jerseys.
Yeah. So the union's doing that for them. They don't have to go out and get their own agents if they're doing this as a collective, right? The union's doing it for them, but you're not going to do it for somebody that doesn't pay union dues, right?
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, we don't actually have legal authority to include them in the group licensing program.
It makes perfect sense. I love it.
They don't participate in the, you know, royalties that are collected either if they don't pay their dues.
They got free riders.
That's right. No free riders. It shouldn't. And good for you for taking that position. I like to hear that. I'd love to hear that. All right. I have one last question. You ready? And here it is. We looked at your contract, and you have a no strike, no lockout clause in the contract. Completely normal, completely legitimate. Every contract has them. You trade that for grievance procedure generally and labor stability during the contract. But yours goes a little further, and I've seen this in other contracts. You're not unique in this, but it doesn't allow you to honor a legitimate picket line. So if the workers at, you know, in Bridgeview went on strike, the concession workers, you would still have to play that game. Talk about that, because this is an interesting intersection between sports unions and building trades and the sort of the service workers, et cetera, where we won't cross picket lines. But God,
that's a really important question, and would love to give you a really thorough answer if you don't mind, and welcome the follow up. So, yes, you're right that we have a no strike clause as you described, and that is, you know, for better or worse, consistent with the no strike clauses we've seen in every other sports CBA.
Yep.
You know, our language is, honestly, if you held it up to the MLS CBA, it's probably word for word.
Got it. Yeah, it makes sense. Yep.
In addition to that, the other thing, you know, pro sports are obviously a little bit different in terms of a workplace. The employer dictates the location of the laborer. There's some other things in the individual standard player agreements that, you know, you can't just relocate a game. You know, you have to play at certain stadiums, the whole team is required to play at the venue they designate. And what's unique to the NWSL and women's sports is that we don't control our own venues. We're tenants in almost all of our venues. Kansas City is a nice exception in our league.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, even the employer doesn't control if there's a labor dispute with concession workers or whatnot. You know, our employer is not their employer. It's a little different of a situation. So certainly I would like to see that change. I agree with you. But what I'll say is this. We've had plenty of examples where, for example, Unite Here reached out to us about a labor dispute brewing in Texas.
Yep.
And, you know, one of the things I really value are my relationships with other labor leaders in the space
Absolutely.
And other unions to the AFL-CIO.
Yes.
And so, you know, Gwen Mills called us and said, hey, this is a situation. We'd love to see if a few of your members might be willing to meet with some of these workers and just, you know, share stories about what it's like to be part of a union and how you guys fought for what you got. And we made that happen. You know, both the NWSL and MLS players met with these hotel workers kind of in a discreet location, and really, really powerful exchange for everyone, I think. And, you know, no, is that that doesn't implicate the picket line. It might have been brewing at some point. But the example being, if we're given enough of an early heads up, I think there are other pressure points that we can bring to bear. You know, with an opportunity, whether it's to relocate the hotel that the players are staying in.
Sure, sure.
You know, that could happen.
Yep.
Obviously, it's a little harder with concession workers at the actual stadium itself. I would be very challenged to figure out what is the solution there. But, you know, another example is like CPKC Stadium in Kansas City. You know, it's the first purpose-built stadium in NWSL.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really big deal that we finally control our own venue in at least one market.
Got it.
On day one, you know, first time they kicked the ball, the railroad workers had a dispute with CPKC, and, you know, the president of local there reached out and said, hey, we're going to have, you know, basically a walking picket
mm-hmm.
outside the stadium. Would love to know if you guys support us. I said, hell yeah, we'll be there. Went out and joined them.
Good.
Walked with them around the stadium,
yep.
you know, made sure they know that we stand with workers. But, you know, I think it's a fair question and would love to continue that conversation with my other colleagues in the space, because we have to change the structure of sports CBAs and the business itself in order to be able to not cross the lines within.
I really appreciate that answer. I appreciate that straightforward answer. I agree with you. I know that you are not unique in this. You're just the first person that we've had on that would come on the show, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, this has been Ked's pet issue for as long as I've known you. Well, it's a great idea.
Look, I think given the popularity, obviously, of sports, right? And the intersection of the fact that, you know, our listeners are the ones that are paying their salaries
right.
basically through, you know, going to the games and buying all the beer and blah, 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 right? That sports, you know, people have a bit of a bully pulpit, right?
Yeah.
And ability
to talk
about leverage, right? Absolutely. So I appreciate that answer. It's a really good answer. I'm going to be asking the same thing of the players' associations for the NFL, the MLB, et cetera. But, you know, maybe there is a world in which everybody sits down and says, hey, everybody, in our next contract, let's just put legitimate picket line language in there. And if all the players' associations decide to do that, I doubt that the management's going to be able to stop them, right? So,
maybe you can help us think through the inevitable pushback we get, right? Because they have media rights deals that are enormously lucrative, at least for, you know, NFL, MLB, and they guarantee a certain number of games, and they have to guarantee broadcast live,
Megan,
like their problem?
That sounds like a you problem.
Yeah, exactly. The CBA is a product of agreement, not disagreement.
You just hold
on. Solve those issues.
Megan just asked a hard question, and immediately we made all three of us make a joke.
We all made the same joke.
Right.
Bring on Fox.
Not my problem. Yeah.
Bring on Comcast.
We'll figure it out. But listen, hey, thank you so much for coming on. This is fascinating. You know, we're supporting everything that you guys are doing. And if there's anything ever that we can do to help, you know, we want to do that. Go Chicago Stars.
Go Stars.
Let's start with that.
Go
Stars, right?
Go to games.
Yeah, go to games, right?
Sure.
Buy the merch, you know, follow the sports.
That's
and
right.
Megan, we really appreciate you coming on. Megan Burke, executive director for the National Women's League Players Association.
And VP.
Right? Did I say that right? National Soccer
League. National Women's Soccer League Players Association.
It's a lot of letters.
That's right.
All right. Hey, Megan.
It is. So many letters.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate you guys having me on. It's been great. And, you know, know that we stand with workers. Anytime we can be there for you, too, you let me know.
It's awesome. Awesome. All right. We'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. That was really cool, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, interesting.
A lot of things I didn't know.
I don't know what I don't know, but she was really, really
intelligent,
well-spoken, right?
Just fiery too.
I know.
I like that. Every union leader should be that way.
And she's a lawyer.
Right.
Right?
You got to stick up for lawyers, Ken, don't you?
One I would actually hire, unlike you.
Ouch.
She was actually a real lawyer.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, really interesting. So, anyway, as we also stated at the top of the hour, we're happy to welcome Ruthie and Fauna. You guys are in the midst of an organizing drive for climbing gyms, correct? Mm-hmm. So, welcome, Ruthie, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi. I'm Ruthie. I'm a regional organizer with the Chicago and Midwest Regional Joint Board of Workers United. And I've been working with First Ascent Climbing Gym Workers for the past about 4.5 months now.
Yeah. Okay. And you guys, so you're just organizing right now, right?
Yeah.
And Fauna, you work actually in one of the gyms?
Yeah, I do. I work at First Ascent Uptown. Okay. I've been working there for 3.5 years. I've been organizing there for 1.5 years. Been a climber for 6 years.
You like it?
I love it.
You like climbing or you like working at the gym?
I love both. The climbing good is answer. Like yeah. secondary, you know. Yeah. It's the community that comes there that like really actually keeps me at this job and right. not like pushing me away to something else.
So I think there's another climbing gym here in Chicagoland, is there not?
Yeah.
What's the other one?
Well, there's two. There's Movement and there's Brooklyn Boulders.
Okay. Yeah. Are they union or no?
Movement actually is. They're in their negotiations for their contract right now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that will help you guys, I assume, right? The rising tide, if you will. And you're obviously, are they working, organizing through you guys?
Yeah. They're through Workers United as well.
And you're in the midst of negotiating that contract.
Yes. Yeah. I don't work super closely with the bargaining, but yeah, I know they're making good progress.
Good. I'd like to hear that. So how many people are you talking about across? It's across 4 gyms, right?
Yeah. The 4 gyms in Chicago. Yeah. It's like 100 employees or something. Wow. It might be like 90.
Okay. Where are the locations? You said Uptown Chicago.
Uptown Chicago. Avondale. It's kind of like Logan Square.
Yep.
There's Humboldt Park.
Okay.
And then there's just close by Block 37.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right down here.
Right on top of the state.
So do you work at the same one all the time?
Mostly. I'll pick up shifts at Block 37, but I haven't in a while.
Yeah. Okay. And what made you guys decide to organize?
Right.
Without bashing the company too hard, or feel free to bash, or whatever. I don't really care.
Yeah. It's poor workplace conditions. There's a lot of safety concerns that like need to be addressed and are not being addressed, even though we keep bringing them up.
I gotta imagine with what you do, like safety is something that you're hyper aware of. So if something's not right, you're noticing it before anybody else, and you've got to keep your people safe that are coming in there to do this.
Right. If we don't create a safe facility, how can we have anyone come in?
Yeah,
right. That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
What does it cost to go to a gym? Like, do you pay by the hour there, or if you want to just try climbing?
Yeah, the day rate is $25. There's a membership for $94. So it's like, if you're coming more than once a week, the membership's the good idea.
Gotcha.
Do people do this in lieu of going to another gym? Like, in other words, is rock climbing, you know, is that what they call it? They call it rock climbing?
Yeah.
Does that, like, take the place of, like, let's say I decided that I'm not going to go to the gym anymore, which, by the way, I think I already decided that. But, like, do people do this instead or do they do it in addition to?
Yeah, there's a bunch of people who do it, like, just climbing. Like, they don't go to the gym at all. Yeah. We have a gym, and there's actually a lot of people at Uptown who just use the gym.
Got it.
It's very, very few people who do both climbing and gym workouts.
So let me ask you this.
Have you ever climbed, Ken? It's hard. It's if you did that for an hour.
No, like, I've never done it.
Forget a rowing machine or a treadmill. I mean, rock climbing is extraordinarily difficult.
I would say when I did it once and when I got to the top, it was probably the most fulfilling accomplishment of my life.
Is that right? I sure hope your wife and children are not
Phil,
listening.
That's nice.
Accomplishment. Not relationship.
The biggest accomplishment of Phil's life was getting to the top of a 6-foot wall.
It was. I'm telling you. It's unbelievable.
Way to go, Phil.
This was in Colorado. This was in the Rockies.
This was actually real deal.
Outside?
Yeah, this was actual mountain climbing. Yeah.
Oh.
You couldn't pay me to do that.
Yeah.
You just couldn't pay me. I'm just not that athletic.
Yeah, so a little different than rock climbing indoor, but yeah.
So let's go back to the union part of this, because that's what the show's supposed to be about. Right. It's not a sports show. Although today's been a sports
today's
show,
kind
too,
of
right?
A sports
yeah,
show.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I kind of like it. How has management's reaction been to your guys' desire to organize? Have they said, like, hey, that's fantastic. Come on in, union.
Yeah, I wish. Management's been really cool. But the founders of the company are pretty much pushing back. They're like spinning off our unionizing as like a small group of people diminish our effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're trying to like isolate
make
you guys.
Extreme.
Yeah. Try to conquer.
Mm-hmm. So when you say the founder, like the people that own the, is it a franchise?
Kind of. I I'm not sure.
Okay. But the owners.
Yeah.
So mid-level management, frontline management, they're supportive of what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't say, but a lot of them are supportive of the union.
Yeah, I gotcha. I know. Sometimes it's hard for management to say, like, you know, because I've had this in the same, like, you know, I can't say I'm supportive of you, but, you know, good luck. Because I've had cases, right, I'm sure we all have, where we organize, and then sometimes our salaries will go above mid-level management, and they'll be stuck, right? And then they either need to join a union, which we've done, or they need to get a raise, you know, so whatever, that's fine. Mm. But so you're saying, are they putting on an anti-union campaign, Ruth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've been holding a lot of anti-union meetings, which, thanks to the new Illinois Worker Freedom of Speech Act, mm-hmm. they cannot force Woo-hoo! Anyone to Woo-hoo! Attend these meetings,
All right.
which is awesome. But, you know, they presented us, come hear us out. But actually,
are they doing the pizza meeting? So they're like, come on, everybody.
I wish.
Oh, they don't even give you pizza?
Nothing. Well, they pay you, but it's not pizza.
Sure, I gotcha. Yeah. They pay you to sit there and listen to their... Now, mm-hmm. have they brought union busters in?
We just learned recently that mm-hmm. they hired Littler Mendelson.
No kidding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For shame.
Yes.
Yes. They have they have a nickname, which I won't repeat. Never mind.
Oh. You tell me later.
Yeah. So they hired that law firm.
Yeah.
And that's not cheap.
No.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
So cost-benefit analysis, by the time they finish paying the law firm or law firms or union busters mm-hmm. or all this, will probably be less than the total of your ask.
Yeah, probably for years.
It's amazing to me that companies will do this, right? And and if you're a shareholder, this is what drives me crazy in the private sector, right? If you're a shareholder of, i.e., you know, Tesla, right, you have an obligation to, you know, return money to your investors, but you'll spend millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to make sure that they don't go union, even though they're asking for hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's amazing to me the fact that all of a sudden the fiduciary responsibility goes out the window,
right.
And it's like, you're not going to tell me how to run my gym, even though you're the ones working there and running the gym.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just it's a shame. So when did you find out that they hired... the law firm?
I think yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
breaking news.
Yeah.
So that means things are going to get real, right? Mm-hmm. And so get ready.
Yeah.
You need to, inoculate, Ruthie?
Yeah. Yeah, we have. We've had a few meetings already about that.
Good.
But
good.
We've also had documents about inoculation, like literally bullet point for bullet point about their exact strategies that they're using now.
Right.
Written a year ago.
No question about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, that playbook doesn't really change.
Nope.
Right? They do the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
And you need to make sure that your coworkers mm-hmm. understand that this is what's going to happen. And because, by the way, Ruthie, you know, I've always found that, you know, when we were working for the union, that when you say that and get in front of it, it gives the union more credence.
Yep.
Right?
100%.
And so if you get into, like, hey, this is what's going to happen. Uh-huh. Generally, it does happen. Has anybody got fired yet?
No.
No.
I say yet because I guarantee it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And people need to be ready for that, mm-hmm. right? Mm. Have they closed a gym? Have they threatened to close a gym yet?
No threats. We're not there yet.
You're not there yet. And how far are you in the organizing drive?
Like how many weeks? Or? Yeah.
No, like how you said you've been organizing for a year and a half.
Uh-huh. Right, but we only announced ourselves on February 5th.
Oh, so this is brand new.
Pretty recent.
Yeah. So are you in the card signing process?
No, we're kind of past that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you filed for an election?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah,
here we go.
Yes.
I guess I should have known that. You know what? I should have read what Alyssa sent me this morning. But it was so long. It's just I hate reading. So you filed for an election already?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Very good. When did you do that?
Yeah. February 7th.
Okay.
But with everything going on with, like, the federal government, we're having some issues with the NLRB.
We are indeed.
What?
Yes, being timely. And so they still don't have an election date.
That's amazing.
Yep. Yeah.
February 7th.
Yeah.
Right? So here we are. We are in March.
Right.
And you don't even have a date yet.
No. Nope.
So they're supposed to have a quick turnaround, right? And that was one of the new rules of mm-hmm. the labor board, right? Quick turnarounds, less union busting.
Right. But...
And so because of the...
Yeah. Right.
Look, it doesn't matter because they're going to challenge the certification anyway.
Anyways,
right. Yep. So assuming that you win, you're going to win.
Yep.
They're going to come back and go, well, there's no quorum.
It's
so
the
they
whole food strategy.
Yeah, that's right. It is.
Yeah.
But what I tell you this, Fauna, is this. You don't need that National Labor Relations Board permission to be in a union. My theory is very simple. That is We're in a union. End of discussion. We're not asking your permission. We're not asking the labor board's permission. I think you have a constitutional right. I think you have a First Amendment right to collectively bargain. So too bad, right?
And right.
So let me ask you this. Have you guys thought about, all right, here we go, right? We file for election. They're going to fight. And they're going to do everything they can to delay the election, to challenge your ballots, right, to do all that kind of stuff. Have you thought about what we're willing to do, what you guys are willing to do, if and when that happens? Are you willing to walk out on strike? Are you willing to withhold your labor? Like talk about that for a second.
Yeah. We haven't really talked about the strike strategy yet
because
it's a big word.
Yes, it is.
In their anti-union meetings, they're like, oh, you don't want to go strike, do you? They're like really leaning into it.
Yeah.
I think we would be.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Because I tell you right now, don't be afraid of the word strike.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the greatest power.
That's the leverage, right? There's no you. There's no clients. Mm-hmm. End of discussion. I'm not going to a climbing gym that doesn't have a staff or that has a staff that's not trained or that brought in some scab that's like, oh, look, you know, here's scab number one. He's going to be your new instructor today. Well, how long has he been working, you know, in this industry? Today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right? So, like, don't be afraid of that. And I think that, I know that you'll have the support of our labor community here in Chicago. There's no question about that. You have the great Illinois AFL behind you and the Chicago Federation of Labor and now the Workers Mike and all our listeners. So, we really wish you success.
Thank you.
Strength.
Yeah, give them hell.
You know, give them hell is right. Wow, Phil. Jesus.
So I thought he was sleeping.
Got me fired up now.
Hey, can you make a living doing this, solely doing this, working for the gym, and that's your only job?
Yeah, working part-time.
Working part-time, no.
Barely.
But if you work full-time, can you make a living?
That's an amazing question. I don't know.
Okay. Depends on what the contract looks like.
Right.
Well, not yet, right?
Well,
not
with
yet.
A contract, I'm sure you could.
I think that's right.
But without a contract, we're scraping by.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So there's money issues involved, right?
Of course.
Yeah, of course. And they're going to say, oh, well, we're going to have to raise the price from $28 to $30. Well, so what?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I say. I'm like, okay, yeah, so. Right?
As if they haven't been raising the prices already.
Right. Right. Is their profit margin not good enough? I think
climbing people, it's a pretty affluent clientele. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's.
You know what? That's a good point, Phil. Right. And I think that you have the support of your clients.
And we do.
Oh, good for you. So they know you're doing this.
Yeah. One thing I want to plug is, like, we had a petition go out, like, to First Ascent paying members, you know, do you support the workers' unionization effort? And I think now it's like 360 signatures.
Wow.
And like 200 of those were in the first like 2 days.
That's awesome.
Fantastic. Where do you get that? Like, how do you, can you forward that to us?
Yeah, totally.
All right, forward that to us. Yeah. We'll get it out there, too.
Yeah,
thank you.
And if people want to support you, you know, like, what's a good way to do it? Is it, like, picking up the phone and calling the gym and saying, like, hey, you know, don't union bust? Or, like, what is a good way for our listeners to support?
Yeah, you can reach out to us. We've got an Instagram page. It's climbing_workers_coalition.
Uh-huh.
You can send an email to us. It's climbingworkerscoalition@gmail.com.
Okay.
Like, nothing in between.
And there's an event coming up, right?
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of our community allies have organized like a community solidarity climb night, March 20th, 7 p.m.
Where's that at?
The Avondale First Ascent location.
Are you inviting the Littler Mendelsohn folks to come and climb?
How about that? It'd be a shame if something were to happen to them. We told you it was not safe.
Meet me. I'll meet you at the top of the wall.
Yeah, let's see how fast you can get to the bottom.
Good one, Ed. Wow. That's nice. Listen, you guys have a tough hill to climb. That's not funny. I thought that was funny. But I we wish you all the best. And, you know, go give them a hell. You know, you deserve everything that you have coming to you. Every worker does. It's dignity in every job, right, Ed? That's what you always say. Thank you so much for coming on, and we wish you well. We'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. So, interesting show today, right? Sports-themed show today.
Yeah, that was cool.
Super cool. Really fun. And Ed, you got an announcement, right? We have an event coming up. Actually, there's a couple of events coming up. Do you want to go first, Phil?
Sure, I'll go first.
All right, you go first.
I think
it's Wednesday, right?
Yeah, it's the most recent one. On Wednesday, there's going to be a big rally in Springfield for United We Move Illinois.
And excellent.
The coalition of 30 labor unions representing 30,000 workers who work in transit, CTA, commuter rail, who are lobbying on behalf of the fiscal cliff that's about to hit transit funding in Illinois.
And this is following up to what we've been talking about, right?
We've been having a lot of discussions about this on the show. Yeah. And this is their chance to bring their bill to the lawmakers in Springfield and get the
Let's get this thing passed, right?
Yeah, we got to, obviously they said reform before funding, so that's going to be the first step of this, but there's a lot of good union workers out there who keep our people moving back and forth.
A lot of people rely on mass transit. It is what it is, right? Especially in the cities. Totally. So that's Wednesday?
That is Wednesday in Springfield.
Okay. What time, do you know?
I think it's going to be an all-day thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. So if you feel like coming down, if you're in Springfield, stop by, lend your support, right? And then in a couple of weeks, Ed, we have a traditional what?
On March 15th, we have the Chicago Working Families St. Patrick's Day Parade.
I love it.
Nothing more Chicago than a good old-fashioned St. Patrick's
Chicago
Day Parade.
Working Families Parade. Now, don't they take the money for that, Ed, and give it to charity?
Yes. So every year, for the past several years, there have been first responders, police or fire, who've been killed in the line of duty, and money's been raised for bulletproof vests. Yep. Money's been raised to purchase a vehicle for a paralyzed police officer. Mm-hmm. So the money goes to a great cause. And this is a group. It's on the southwest side on Archer Avenue. It starts at noon on March 15th on Archer Avenue from Oak Park Avenue to Narragansett Avenue.
It's not a terribly long parade.
It's not. Yeah. It's like an hour, but it's fun. It's a great little community parade if you feel like standing out in the wind here downtown. But a lot of the unions, a lot of employers, construction companies come together and put up a bunch of money that all goes to the families of fallen service members. So it's an awesome event, and I would say to anybody, make plans, come out. It's free, it's fun, it's usually pretty warm, and it's on March 15th.
And now we're gonna be there, correct?
Yeah, you could meet me and Ken and Phil in the flesh.
Whoa!
But wait a second.
But
hold on a second. I'm told, correct me if I'm wrong, that one Mr. Jim Sweeney wants us to sit on the roof.
We will be on a roof, is my understanding. Much like the Beatles, it'll be like a Beatles style, like very famous thing. Hopefully not the last.
So we're going to be on a roof with microphones and beer.
I'm not drinking any beer.
What could go wrong?
I'm going to talk to my safety director. Make sure everyone's tied off.
I swear to God, I'm going to harness myself on there.
That's right.
And maybe we'll have some climbing people.
Yeah,
good right.
idea. It's a good idea.
Thank you so much.
I think I know a couple.
Way to bring it back.
But the workers, Mike, has traditionally marched in this thing, even though we just walk around with a banner and whatever. But this time we're actually going to have microphones and Phil, maybe a little Phil stand up.
Warm up an intro to the parade.
Warm up the crowd a little bit.
Yeah, that seems like the right crowd for me. Right opportunity. Sure.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
And they're all drunk. They're going to laugh.
Yeah. Right.
He's not used to that. It's like, what are you people doing with your mouths?
What is the sound coming out of your mouth?
You're supposed to be quiet when I perform.
Silence!
So that's coming up.
The longest uninterrupted parade?
That's right. That's so right. Funny. The downtown parade. During COVID, when they said stop all the parades, the parade stopped. But the Archer parade never stopped. So it is the longest continually running St. Patrick's Day parade in Chicago history.
If you're listening and you're not in Chicago, you have to understand that is an inside bone of contention amongst some.
There's no contention, Ken. There's no contention. It's a fact.
Well, I'm not saying that. They're saying it's a bone of contention, and some labor leaders literally won't talk to each other because of this parade.
I
wasn't trying to stir the pot or anything.
Stir it. Phil, you've just been on fire today. I don't know what you ate for breakfast.
Yeah. You're right? Is that what you said earlier? Give them hell.
Yeah.
So,
shot out of a cannon.
So anyway, that's what's going on. Anything else going on in the world of labor that can't wait till next week, Ed?
Next week, I'd like to talk about all these fired forest rangers.
Okay.
3,500 people who work in the Forest Service just got terminated, and people are rightly concerned about bear attacks. Because in America, if you go to a national park, I swear you're going to see it. Go to Yellowstone, you will see people getting too close to animals.
Right.
And if there wasn't a ranger there to tell them to back off, they would just get trampled by a moose.
I've seen a grizzly bear on a trail. It was a brown black bear. It looked like a grizzly bear, but it was big. It was 20 feet away from me on a trail.
Really?
At Grand Teton National Park.
That's when you run.
I threw my wife in front of it and I ran like hell.
good one. I threw my wife in front of it and ran. We've got to run.
We got to run.
Good one. So let's talk about that and obviously all the other stuff that's going on in the world. But, you know, look, today's a positive show, right? Mm-hmm. We had some positive news, and let's leave it on a positive note. We will be back next week with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNradio.com.